All right, Proverbs 29 is where we are, and then I'll slip on and be with the young people. I just want to mention this real quickly. I've said it before, but let me mention it one more time. I appreciate so very much the men that have been doing the teaching. Of course, Alan's not here, and when will they be home? Another week or two? March 15. Wow. All right. But I appreciate so very much the men that have been doing the teaching, getting into the Word, diving into the Word, and looking for Bible principles that can apply to our lives. And it would be just easy just to not participate and not have to study or whatever, but they do it, and several of them have done it just about every time. And I just want you to know I appreciate it's hard work, but what it does is it has our men in the Word of God. Now, just because you may not be teaching doesn't mean you're not in the Word of God. But I just want to give a special thanks to those gentlemen, because I know it does take time to say, Lord, help me to have something that will help feed and be a blessing to each one. All right, well, with that in mind, let's go to Proverbs 29. Oh, the second thing I learned tonight is on Wednesday nights, you know, we have the microphone here. And so I was thinking, well, I probably don't need the microphone. And so I was advised, I just asked a question. Do you think I need the microphone? Yes. Or something that it was a pretty quick answer to that. And just about the time I say something about, I don't need the microphone, I'm out here or over there or somewhere. And so I appreciate remote mics, because I would be handicapped to stand in one place. So I appreciate that. All right, let's go to Proverbs 29, now that I've been yakking too much. Verse number 6 is where I paused and came back to on several occasions and looking at it. And again, there's a number of good verses in here. That's why I skip over some of those, because I know these other gentlemen will have fair game at it. And I'm tempted every time I read a verse, oh, that's good. Yeah, I want to take that. No, I better leave that for one of these men. And so I came down to verse number 6, and hopefully they wouldn't choose that. Well, they might. It's a great verse. But you have to kind of think through it. In a way, it's not hard, it's not difficult, and yet there's some good applications to it. So this is Proverbs 29 and verse 6. Now, in verse number 5, a man that flattereth with his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. All right, now you have a similar theme in verse number 6. All right, verse 5, a man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. Now, is he spreading a net for the feet of the individual that he's flattering? Probably. Or could he be setting a net for his own feet? The latter of the two is what I believe for the next verse. Okay? The former of the two, I think he's spreading a net for someone else. Okay? But nonetheless, let's look at verse 7. Now, you could take it that way as well, but in looking at 7 and 8 and so forth, I think it may be the other way around. All right, let's look at verse 7. The righteous considereth the cause of the poor. Oops, I skipped over verse 6. In the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare. But the righteous doth sing and rejoice. The transgression of an evil man, there is a snare. Okay? But, let's see. I was looking at my notes and not at this verse. In the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice. Now, let's just stop and think. Let's just think about evil men. All right. If you were to say, all right, this a person who would live in this kind of condition could justly be called an evil man or an evil woman. All right, an evil individual. All right. Help me out. What would be some descriptions of you say, well, that person's an evil man? Let me just start. I'll say a thief, all right? If a man is committed to being a thief, would you say that he is evil? Yes or no? Yes. Yeah, okay, all right. What are some other ways in which we would say, all right, if a person regularly has this ambition or follows it through, and follows it through, that's an evil guy. That's an evil gal. What would you say?
Unjustified violence.
Violence. Very good. All right. How about somebody else?
Someone who seeks after being rich and doesn't
what he does to everyone else around him in order to get them.
All right. Could you hear her back there? She was saying how blessed she is to have me as a husband. You knew that was coming, didn't you? All right. All right. She said, of those who would be rich or are rich, but especially those who are on the pathway to that, who do not care what it takes to get where they want to be. They'll cheat someone. They'll run over someone. They'll do whatever's necessary. You'd say that's an evil individual. All right. How about one more from this side, one more from this side? You say a person would be evil if he or she practices that.
An abuser of someone
or of some sort. Okay. Very good. Very good. All right. One more over here. Yes, sir.
An adulterer.
Very good. Not that's not good, but a good answer. All right. So here you have, I guess I do move a lot, don't I? It just dawned on me. All right. So here you have, it says in verse 6, in the transgression of an evil man. Now, is transgression an attitude or an action? It's an action. Basically, we could fine-tune it a little bit. We could come up with an ambition that he's longing to do it. So there's transgression even in that. Because the Bible says, when I would do good, evil is present with me. So there's an ambition to do right, even though you haven't done it yet. So I understand just kind of, but let's just leave it in general terms. So if it says in verse 6, now here's what I want you to notice. Notice the insignificant words in here. Because then the insignificance that we would assign to it, there really is significance. Notice the word in. Notice the words there is. In the transgression of an evil man. So we're going right to the heart of what's going on, is in his ambitions, yes, but also in his actions. In the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare. Now let me ask you a question. With those who are committed to evil, whether it's abuse or becoming wealthy by running over people or adultery or there was one more. I've forgotten what it was. Stealing. What was the other one?
Violence.
Violence, yes. Unjustified violence. Okay. So anyone that's involved in that, I need your help here. Anyone that's involved in that, would that be a one and done kind of a thing? Would that be something that they would steal, or they would run over someone, or they would be violent, or they would be an adulterer? Is that the only thing that's gone on in their lives? Okay. Is that the only thing that's gone on in their lives that has influence them to be the way they are? Yeah. Okay. And the follow-up question to that is, are there those things in their lives that they have either permitted or provided that encourage them or sets the table for them to get into further evil things? Further transgressions. Yes. So in other words, if we could put it this way, I also back over things, don't I? So what we could say then is that the person, as we see it in verse number 6, it says, in the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare. In the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare. So we've come to the conclusion together that this evil transgression that we're thinking about tonight is not a solo event. It's not a one-time event, normally speaking. But rather, it is an accumulation of events that encourage him. In other words, there's a pathway that this individual is on. Would you agree with me? There's a pathway that's just like broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Narrow is the way, so forth. So the pathways that we think about, he says, in the transgression of an evil man is a snare. So let's look, before we finish with that, let's look at the rest of the verse. And it's in contrast to that. It says, in the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare, but, there's a contrasting conjunction, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice. How many of you have ever been around someone that's just evil? Just kind of wicked, just kind of mean, just kind of whatever. Anybody at all? Okay, several, okay. Not everyone, that's good, I'm glad. Okay? And you may not think about what I'm thinking about. So if you don't, it's not a wrong answer. But let's see, let's just play with it and see. If you were to think through, let's say, a year or 6 months or 3 months of being around someone who is like that, who does this wrong and does that wrong, and he doesn't care, she doesn't care. They do this wrong and they do that and they do that. Is there something that they almost have to do to keep themselves out of trouble? And that's a pretty ambiguous question, but I get some shaking their heads. Before I said ambiguous, I had some heads going like this, and then I won't say who, but I had one go, I said it was ambiguous. They said, yes, it is. All right. I'm just trying not to give it away, but let's just go. I'm going to run out of time real quickly. Is there somebody that would give me an answer real quickly? Someone who is just given to that kind of a thing, and there's always transgressions, always evil things that come along as a result of this guy's or this lady's actions. What is it they have to always do? They have to always what?
Lie.
Okay, they always have to lie. I had a chorus on that. They always have to lie.
Hide.
Ah, she's getting to the heart of what I'm looking for. They always have to be hiding or looking over their back.
Paranoid.
Yeah. Is that what? Paranoid, that's right. Or a singlenoid, either one of them. All right. But that was bad. So here's the point. I'm sorry. Just can't help myself sometimes. All right. But here's the point, is that they're always having to look over their back. All right? Are any cops around? Okay? Does anybody notice that I'm wearing a heavy coat in the store and it's not cold out? Because they put things in their coats and so forth. In other words, the pathway, it says, in the transgression of the evil man is a snare. Now, it could be that he's going around and putting out snares, but I don't think that's what he's after, because when he contrasts it with the righteous and the just one, notice what he says. It's a simple statement. He says, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice. Why? Are they just oblivious of the pathway they're on and they don't see any danger? They don't see any problems? Is that the way the righteous are, the just ones before God? Why would you say that they would, it says the righteous, is it righteous or just?
Righteous.
The righteous ones, all right, they sing and rejoice. What's the major difference between the evil man who in the transgression? It's not that the evil man transgresses by putting out a snare, but in the transgression of the evil man is a snare. Yes, ma'am.
Fear versus peace.
Ah, very good. Excellent answer. Fear versus peace. All right. Why do they have peace?
Right conscience.
Right conscience. What else? That's what you're going to say. Okay, what else?
They haven't moved away from a safe position.
Haven't moved away from a safe position. I'm still looking for one. If you can figure out my brain, you're doing I haven't figured it out yet either. All right. I'm looking for one, though. What is if...
They have a fear of God.
They have a fear of...
A healthy fear.
A healthy fear of God. Very good.
I'm thinking pride.
I'm sorry?
Pride for the transgressor.
Yeah, pride of the transgressor. So what makes... If you were to say, all right, both of them are on a pathway, are they not? Are they just on a pathway, yes or no? Yes. All right. The ungodly is on a pathway. They're not going even parallel. They're going in opposite directions. The one has to always look over his back because there's a snare there somewhere. Okay? The word snare has the idea of catching, or it has the idea of a noose that's set out. If you've ever seen, like, for a rabbit or something, you put it out there, put food in it, and you snatch it back real quickly. That's the idea there. So when you and I think, and I'm probably belaboring the point here, but it says the righteous doth sing and rejoice. Why? Give me a one-word answer that has three letters. And it starts with G and ends with D. God, that's right. That's right. He knoweth the path that I take. Amen? The steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. And when we don't know how to pray as we ought, the Bible says, Romans 8:26, the Holy Spirit is making intercession for us with groanings for the saints, for the with groanings which cannot be uttered. He which knoweth the hearts of man knoweth the mind of the Spirit, for the Spirit itself maketh intercession according to the what? Will of God. And we know that all things, will you say it with me? We know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I don't have time to get into it, but if you wanted to look at the pathways, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 talks about the pathway. Proverbs 12, 28, that God's pathway leads to life. So no wonder you can sing. No wonder you can rejoice. No wonder when your heart has tears in it and your eyes perhaps. But you can sing and rejoice, according to Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And he tells you how to do it. He says, let your prayers and supplications be made unto the Lord with thanksgiving be made unto the Lord. So even when you have supplications, now prayers can be just regular prayers. But supplications are those earnest matters of the heart. And he had said in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And then a verse later, he says, let your prayers and supplications be made with thanksgiving unto the Lord. So when you're coming to the Lord, you can walk that pathway. Even though there may be growls over on this side of the pathway, and there may be the shadow of death hanging over, and there's a darkness you're going to have to walk through, yet you can sing in the night. You don't have to belabor it. You can just say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I can either fear, and I can just be like this and cower at everything that comes up, or Lord, I can just trust you. The old cowboy song, sing as you ride in the... Okay, it goes all, just the idea is you're going on a horse and you're going through the country and you just sing as you ride. When you and I, who know the Lord is our Savior, what a joy it is to know that we can do that. There's more verses I could give. And the last verse I had was verse 27, and it goes right along with that. An unjust man is an abomination to the just. This has helped me. It helped me to realize, why don't people understand? Why? An unjust man, that just means they're not righteous. Doesn't mean they're a child abuser. Doesn't mean whatever. Maybe coworkers that are very skilled at what they do, but they don't get it. And you bug them. Okay? You notice what it says. An unjust man is an abomination to the just. Okay? Because of the necessity of conducting business and ministry and family and every responsibility that you have, an unjust man, an unrighteous man, and he may do it intentionally, he may do it unintentionally, but there's all kinds of things you have to navigate around in order to just stay righteous before the Lord and accomplish what you have to accomplish. Whether, again, it's family, whether it's work, whether it's ministry, whatever it is. And so there's that which, but it doesn't stop there. It says, he that is upright in the way. Now, I want you to notice the in the way, prepositional phrase there. He that is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. Now, in the first one, he just says an unjust man is an abomination to the just. Your very being, Brother Wendell, to maybe somebody else, just when he's walking with the Lord, he's just going to bug somebody. I mean, he's just going to. And the truth is, it's going to be difficult for him because, but notice what it says in the second one. It says, he that is upright in the way, kind of like verse 6, he that is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. And there's a lot of reasons. We could talk about it as a group tonight, and I've got to get down with the teenagers. But talk about, you know, we're the light and the salt. We're the light of the world, as Jesus said. So as you think about it, and you say, wait a minute, it's not so much about just being righteous in your own way, but you're righteous in the way. So when you're righteous in the way, you're going to be in the way, if I could use that phrase again from a different way. If you're in the way following the will of God, and you have an unjust man, and you have the wicked man here, you have a wicked man, if you're in the way, and you're providing a straight course to the will of God and the ways of God and the Word of God, and here's a wicked man, you're going to be in his way. If he wants to cook the books in business, or if he wants to whatever it is, you're going to be in his way. And so you're going to be an abomination to him. The point is, just be in the way. Because it's not about you and it's not about me. We just happen to be God's representatives in that setting. So we don't have to act like a martyr, and we don't have to just go out and look for ways in which we can be, you know, a pain to the unsaved. No, it's just the opposite of that. But as you and I do, as we are what God wants us to be, oh my, how we can rejoice in the dark of night, no matter how lonely we are, no matter how tough it gets, we can still sing. When we walk with the Lord. And we come down to the chorus. I'm going to trust and obey, for there is no other way. I don't think I did that right. To be happy in Jesus, rejoice. Happy in Jesus, but to what? Trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, when we sit at his feet, as we sang tonight. Proverbs 29, like all the rest of them, have little jewels in there. And if you pause long enough, rather than just having a proverb of the day, but you get in there and chew a little bit. Figure out, all right, why is that preposition and phrase in there? In the way. Oh, he's reminding Randy, it's not about me. It's about in the way. But the reason it's in the way is the same reason that there was a light that shined on the road to Jericho. Not the road to Jericho. Damascus. Yeah, the road to Damascus, when the light came down for Saul of Tarsus and said, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He was in the way, but going the wrong way. And the Lord came down in his way. And that's what God wants, is for that divine appointment. When we're in the way and we're in the way, there's a crossroads. And at that crossroads, we're God's representatives. Does that make sense? So if we get a martyr's complex, or we get irritated, or we get whatever, and I go through that too, but we just have to say, wait a minute. There's something more important than lashing out or getting even or whatever else it is, or even just having a martyr's complex and saying, oh, everything's bad. No. Just say, okay, Lord, help me to see what's at stake here, no matter what the situation is. It's helping me to have my little, I put the license plate on the back of the Miata. And it reads, I think I said it before. I don't know if I said it in here or not, but it's R, and then the letter U, and then the letter S, and then the letter V, and then the letter D, and then the number 2, and then a question mark. Okay, have I already said all that before? I haven't. All right. It looks like Rusevd too. But when they stop and look at it, is are you saved too, with a question mark? And I'm getting horns, they're honking at me and waving, yeah, I am too, you know, or whatever. But it's helping me to remember how I drive. Because whoever's behind me, like happened on my way back from Robert, visiting Robert this evening, I had a guy right on my, and I just don't like that. I was in a GTO one time, and a guy hit us from behind and totaled out a GTO, which is a heavy car. And so I'm singlenoid and paranoid and trinoid when it comes to getting hit from behind. And I just wanted to have a chat with him and or her, whomever it was. But I remembered my license plate. And I just, okay, all right. Lord, use the license plate to help him to know how to drive better. All right, I didn't do that. All right.